Heavenly Father, continue to bore out our ears. Continue to shape us to the likeness of your Son. Your Son, our King, the Redeemer and Mediator. Shape us by your word and by the presence of your Holy Spirit. We will wait upon you for this now. And we pray in the matchless name of the Lord of glory. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Once upon a time, some parents decided to start reading the Bible out loud and to their children. Once upon a time. This couple had heard that the Bible was an odd book, that it was different and difficult to understand. Many of their friends had criticized this book called the Bible, and they were curious. They gathered the family, they went outside, and they started to read out loud. From the beginning of this reading, the Bible didn't seem to be all that odd, different, or difficult. The words were clear, the words made sense, even the beginning was a sensible beginning. It was about the beginning. They read, and they heard, darkness gave way to light. This still happens. They read and they heard that evenings turn into mornings. This still happens. Each one there realized that there had not been a single day in their lives when this had not been the case. Every night that they had experienced was followed by a daytime. The reading continued. They read about water, and there is still water. They read that not everything was water, not everything was wet. Water gave way to that which was not water. It was phrased this way. There were waters above and waters below. The waters above, they nodded knowingly. They knew about rain and they could see the clouds. The water below, that was a bit more playful with the stomping and the splashing and the swimming. These waters below, the pools and the ponds and the puddles and the rivers and the lakes and the seas, well, these waters were separated also. It was as if the waters below gave way to something else. They gave way to dry ground. This too made sense, and it's still this way. There was dry ground, and things were coming up out of the ground. They looked around. One of the children was pulling up some grass. Another child was smelling a flower. Stuff still comes up from the ground. Dad was leaning against a tree. They read about lights in the skies, lamps in the skies. These lights, these lamps were said to rule. That is, they were in charge. They announced things that were definitive. There was no doubt about it. They announced morning, or they announced evening. And these lamps were called sun, moon, stars. And it's still this way. The heavens were populated with these lamps, and they were also filled with flapping and fluttering beauty. Flapping and fluttering beauty. Birds. The waters were filled as well. Fish and other strange and curious creatures. Some of them flapped. Many had fins. One even sported around in the water. The Bible reading was clear. The only oddities were found in the wonders of the creation animals. They're curious. That's curious. Look at the way that one walks. How does that one eat? Mom, Dad, how do they make babies? This is curious. The Bible reading continued, and still things made sense. They made sense to the senses. And there's more. Barely flipping the first page of this Bible reading, the familiarity of land animals. Well, that was read about as well. These animals made sense, and they seemingly padded and skittered and bounded and ambled right off the pages of the reading. They were shuffling and snuffling, whizzing and whirring and galloping and plodding. Those things were the imaginative soundtrack of this out loud reading of the Bible. The heavens and the waters and the land, they were filled. This is still true. The Creator continued, this time crafting another, calling this another man. And then distinguished man as male and female. A distinction, yes, and a connection. This too made sense, and they, that family of the reading out loud, thought about one another. They thought about parents, brothers, sisters, everyone they knew. Yes, this too makes sense. The Creator had been speaking. The Creator in this reading spoke to the image bearers, male and female. The Lord God, the Creator, spoke of taking charge, doing things. Later, He would speak to His image bearers as work together and beautify the garden. He placed them in a garden. Well, here now at the beginning, the Creator spoke of food. Food. And this is what it sounded like. See, take a look. Behold, look around. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. They stopped the reading right there. But in imitation of their Creator, they spoke. The parents both said, none of that seems strange, odd, or difficult to understand. Later on, those parents concluded that they needed a theologian to make it confusing. They continued speaking. The parents and the children talked about food and bushes, fruits and trees. The children were antsy. They were all hungry. The children climbed some trees, and the parents laughed and worried at the same time about the children climbing the trees. The parents rested in the shade of the trees. As a family, they together had a picnic lunch near the trees. During a break in the picnic lunch, one of the children dangled by one arm from one branch of one tree. The trees were different, and yet they were also similar. They were beautiful and strong. They came up from the ground and reached to the heavens. And the branches spread out and pointed to the four corners of the earth. And the leafy branches also stooped down and pointed and even touched the earth. It's as if the trees stood between heaven and earth. Now, according to this story, the family continued to read the Bible out loud. Sure, there were some things that they found hard to understand. And one person in that family said of those things that were hard to understand, that reminds me of life. But something stuck with these children over the years of Bible reading. Something stuck with them. They were struck by the trees. The Bible opened in a garden and began with trees. A man and his wife were present, and there was eating and there was instruction. There was eating and there was speaking. Some of the speaking was even disagreeable. Over the years, as those people in this story grew, they, like us, kept on encountering trees in the Bible. The parents, just like the children and just like us, did not and do not understand everything in the Bible, or for that matter, everything about trees. But once they started going to church, the children sure had a great deal of fun on those Sundays called Palm Sunday. The children enjoyed that greatly. They wondered about branches. They wondered about trees. Palm Sunday is part of it, and it's part of a much larger story. Let's consider together. Trees were given for food. Various kinds of trees. Some with a fruity bit way up high. Some with things that needed to be whacked with a stick and gathered in a tarp. Others of these little trees had fruit right here where the children could grab and take and even eat. Trees were given to mankind for food, and wood was provided so that we could be like the Creator and be creative with wood and construction. Even the temple where the Lord says, "Meet with me," was adorned with garden imagery. You can't get away from it. The temple was adorned with tree-like imagery, made with various kinds of wood, cypress and cedar and olive woods. The Bible reading continues. And something that we know but we have perhaps forgotten about, because we've become like a blind man whose eyes need to be open so that we too can see people in the Bible. People, you and I, are likened unto trees throughout the Bible. Do you remember the man who was healed from his blindness in Mark's gospel? He was healed and it was as if it was beginning. And he stated at the beginning of this eye-opening, "I see men like trees walking." Jeremiah 11, the Lord called Israel a green olive tree. Paul refers to Israel as the olive tree. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks of fruitfulness. He says that our lives ought to produce fruit. What are we like? Grapes? Thistle bush. One thing about grapevines is they produce grapes. One thing about thistle bushes is they're pokey. If you find grapes on a thistle bush, something's wrong somewhere. Someone took a grape and poked it onto a pokey thing. Jeremiah 17, those who trust in the Lord are compared to strong and fruitful, well-watered trees. And the very first psalm, those who avoid wickedness and adhere to righteousness, they are likened to fruitful and prosperous trees that are planted right next to water. Psalm 52, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. People are likened unto trees. How about this benediction? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. He'll be like the presence of God because the temple was built with imagery of palms and cedars. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and green. What a wondrous benediction. Follow the Lord and you'll be like a fruitful tree. Some of this tree fruitfulness is also seen in other passages that we know well. We walk upon them like gravity, and they hold us together. From Proverbs 11, the fruit of the righteous, what is that like? It's like a tree of life. Oh, that reminds me of the garden. Proverbs 13. Hope deferred. Hope is just hanging out there and you don't have hope. Hope deferred does what? It makes the heart sick. You're just sick. But when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Proverbs 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness in your tongue, you know what that does? It breaks the spirit, yours and other people's. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Where's their healing? Well, we'll see the words of grace. We'll see the life of grace. We'll see the words of the Lord. By the way, in Isaiah 61, Jesus cited this passage one day in the temple. You'll remember, he entered the temple and he was to read, and a scroll was given to him. And he found the place in the scroll where the prophet Isaiah had these words to say: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to those who are captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they may be called," the Lord does all of this, "so that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that He will be glorified." The ministry of Jesus Christ was to turn us into trees of righteousness, so the planting of the Lord will be glorified. Oh, on and on it goes. Love between a husband and a wife in the Song of Solomon is spoken of with creation imagery, which shows us that the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife is far more than just you and me, sweetie. Creation is spoken of vineyards and wine. Matter of fact, the man likens his wife to a palm tree, and she speaks of him as an apple tree. They love the scents, the smells, the taste. Creation is wondrous indeed, and our family, in reading the story, nods knowingly. Yes, I can relate to that. In Psalm 128, children, the children of the righteous are likened to little olive plants popping up around the table. In Ecclesiastes, it ends with a beautiful poetic description of the godly aged, the aged, mature, senior saints. The grayed or whitened hair of the elderly there in Ecclesiastes 12 is described this way: when the almond tree blossoms. Around here, we could say when the Bradford pear trees blossom. Look at the white, the brilliant, driving down the road this time of year. Boop. Now, by the way, we are likened unto trees, and the righteous are to be fruitful trees. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. But this does not mean that those who reject and rebel against the Lord are not likened unto trees. They are likened unto trees. In Jude 12, hypocrites are described as trees without fruit. What are you doing there? I'm just a tree. What are you doing? No, fruitless. You'll remember that Jesus, matter of fact, if you'll read on in our passage today of Matthew 21, you will find Jesus encountering a fig tree, which represents Israel. It was hypocritical. It looked as if it was the season for bearing figs. Jesus walks up, it's fruitless, there's no figs on it, so he curses the fig tree. Next day, the disciples walk by and go, whoa, tree's withered, fruitless. There'll be no fruit from you any longer. So, children, even as our family reading the Bible out loud, they come to a passage like this and they find children involved. And that's what's wonderful about the noises of children, the involvement of children here. We know from reading the Bible that when someone wears a particular article of clothing, it is not simply functional to cover up their nakedness. It's symbolic. It represents a bit of who they are and their office, perhaps. Clothing represents the person. And so Jesus comes in on a small beast, a small animal, one of those padding, clomping, snuffling, snorting creatures. Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and people are taking bits of themselves and laying it on the ground, laying clothing on the beast of burden. Lord, you are our king. You may use us as you see fit. Use us. We are under you. But people also had leafy branches. And if the Bible is accurate that people are likened unto trees, what are they doing? They're laying themselves down. You are the king. Oh, the passage goes on, and the children have been crying out from Psalm 118, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, he is the king. And of course, the chief priests and the scribes, they're agonizing over this. They're going back and forth from foot to foot, and they say they're indignant. They got to tell those children to be quiet. Shh. Now they're telling the truth. So children walked in today with leafy branches, palm branches, and our blessing of the children will relate to this at the end of our service today. So that family, like us, the family of God, reads the Bible out loud. And it is no surprise then that the Bible opens with trees, and especially one special tree called the Tree of Life. And the Bible ends with trees, and especially one special tree called the Tree of Life. We know that the first Adam and his bride fell at a tree of eating. We also know that the last Adam for his bride was felled on a tree. But he rose and he himself gave himself as life for the world. Our Old Testament reading referred to a tree being thrown into bitter waters. You know the story. Deliverance from the Red Sea, deliverance from Egypt. You are free, you're my people, you're my children. And the Lord brings them to a dead zone. No signal, no water. They travel a bit farther, and they come to bitter waters, nasty, stanky, stinky water. And they grumble. And Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord points to a tree, a bit of wood, and says, take the tree and throw it into the death-giving waters. Throw it into the waters. And the waters became sweet. 3 days into the wilderness, a tree provided life. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. So let's conclude. Palm Sunday. It marks the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. At that time, 1 week before his crucifixion, 1 week before that tree would be lifted up from the earth, 1 week before a sacrifice was to be put upon that tree. A large crowd had gathered for the feast of Passover, and as Jesus entered Jerusalem, that large crowd that had gathered declared Jesus to be the king and the long-expected Messiah. John described it this way. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him. And they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Branches. Branches and trees. Palm branches reminded the people of God of their time in the wilderness, when they had been delivered from Egypt, when they had been released from slavery. And one of those wonderful festivals of the Old Covenant people was that they were to live in booths. So these branches were to remind them of deliverance in the wilderness from Egypt. Oh, and as they marched on and they went into the land of promise, they came to Jericho. And Jericho in the Bible is known as the city of palms. So it's not just that these branches represent deliverance from slavery. These branches also represent victory. Victory of the king. And yet there's more. The temple, the place of the presence of God, the place of welcome, ornate and adorned by palm trees. This is for you, the people of God, the people who have been delivered from slavery, the people who are of the victorious one. This is the place of meeting the Lord, the King. And there's beauty. Therefore, we should not wonder, and we will not wonder with the family of our story as they read their Bible out loud year after year. We will not wonder when they come to the end of the Bible. We will not wonder at that description of the innumerable worshiping host standing before the throne and the Lamb. They are clothed in white robes, and they are holding palm branches in their hands, and they are saying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Amen and amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ, the one and only mediator, the one who has brought us life, displaying your presence and welcoming us before you. Now, Lord, may our lives reflect Jesus in all that we do. May we be trees of righteousness, and may we do all that we do and all that we say, even in the way that we think, to the wondrous glory of your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, who was lifted up and who even now lives to make intercession for us. And all of God's people said, Amen.